Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar and today we're Sechus Mot Katan Daf Yud. The first parak, Mashkin Beis Shlachim. The first parak has been generously sponsored in the memory of Menachem Mendel, ben Rav Yosef Yitzchak Isaac Cohen, and his son Habachi Yosef Yitzchak Isaac ben Rav Menachem Mendel Cohen. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Ches Amud Beis had stated, "Hedio Tov for Kedarcho. A layman may sow in his usual way during Chol Hamoed." The Gemara in Ardav asks, who is considered a layman? And the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai answered, whoever is unable to skillfully pull a full needle of stitches through the fabric at the same time. Rashi explains that one is only considered a craftsman if he's able to pass the needle through the garment in and out several times, so that with one pull of the needle he completes many stitches. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, whoever cannot form a straight hem on the bottom of his garment. Rashi explains that he's unable to take the thick material that is sewn at the hem and sew it straight. Instead, he makes one side thick and the other side thin. The Mishnah there continued, Baha'uman Machlib, and a skilled person is Machlib. Rabbi Yochanan explained, Mapsia, this is a stitching that's similar to wide steps. Rabbi Bar Shmuel said, Shinech Albusa, this is a stitching that goes up and down like the teeth of a dog. Pointing to the Gemara brings eight rulings of Rabba related to Chol Hamoed. His fourth ruling is, Ayman de Zache Ziche, a person who clears debris, which Rashi says refers to twigs from an area of land. If he clears it with the intention to gather wood for fuel, it's permitted. But if he clears it with the intention of improving the land for future growth, it's prohibited. Hechidami, how is it known what his intention is? If he takes only the large twigs and leaves the small ones, then it appears that his intention is for gathering wood. But if he takes both the large and small ones, then it appears that his intention is to plant the fuel. His fifth ruling concerns someone who opens a gate for water to run into his land on Chol Hamoed. If his intent is to catch fish to eat, it's permitted. If it's to irrigate his land, it's prohibited. How do we discern his intent? If he opened two gates of water, one at the higher elevation to let the water in and the second at the lower elevation to let the water out, then his intent is to catch fish. But if he only opened the gate at the higher elevation, then his intent is to irrigate the field. And pointing with you, Rav said in his eighth ruling, Prakmatya Koshu Asir, any amount of merchandising in Chol Hamoed is prohibited. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin said, Ubedavra Avid Mutter, but in the case of a loss, it is permitted. Rashi explains that if the person will have a loss if he does not sell in Chol Hamoed, it is permitted. But where a loss is not prevented by selling it specifically in Chol Hamoed, it's forbidden. The Gemara relates that Ravina had certain merchandise in Chol Hamoed that was able to sell for 6,000 zuz, yet he waited to sell it until after Chol Hamoed, despite the potential for a great loss, which permits the sale. He ended up selling it after Chol Hamoed for 12,000 zuz. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Ches Amud Beis had stated, a hedio tov for kedarcho, a layman may sow in his usual way during Chol Hamoed. The Gemara in Ardaf asks, who's considered a layman? And the Yeshiva Rabbi Yana answered, whoever is unable to skillfully pull a full needle of stitches through the fabric at the same time. Rashi explains that one is only considered a craftsman if he's able to pass the needle through the garment in and out several times, so that with one pull of the needle, he completes many stitches. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, whoever cannot form a straight hem on the bottom of his garment. Rashi explains that he's unable to take the thick material that's sewn at the hem and sew it straight. Instead, he makes one side thick and the other side thin. The mission there continued, Baha'uman Machlib, and a skilled person is Machlib. Rabbi Yochan explained, Mapsia, this is a stitching that is similar to wide steps. Rav Bar Shmuel said, Shine Kalbasa, this is a stitching that goes up and down like the teeth of a dog. Point number two, the Gemara brings eight rulings of Rava related to Chol Hamoed. His fourth ruling is, Ayman de Zachi Ziche, a person clears debris, which Rashi says refers to twigs, from an area of land. If he clears it with the intention to gather wood for fuel, it's permitted. But if he clears it with the intention of improving the land for future growth, it's prohibited. Hechidami, how's it known what his intention is? If he takes only the large twigs and leaves the small ones, then it appears that his intention is for gathering wood. But if he takes both the large and small ones, then it appears that his intention is to plant the field. His fifth ruling concerns someone who opens a gate for water to run into his land in Chol Hamoed. If his intent is to catch fish to eat, it's permitted. If it's to irrigate his land, it's prohibited. How do we discern his intent? If he opened two gates of water, one at a higher elevation to let the water in, and the second at a lower elevation to let the water out, then his intent is to catch fish. But if he only opened the gate at the higher elevation, then his intent is to irrigate the field. And pointing with you, Rav said in his eighth ruling, Prakmatya Koshu Asa, any amount of merchandising on Chol Hamoed is prohibited. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin said, Ubedavra Avid Mutter, but in the case of a loss, it's permitted. Rashi explains that the person will have a loss if he does not sell on Chol Hamoed, it's permitted. But where a loss is not prevented by selling it specifically on Chol Hamoed, it's forbidden. The Gemara relates that Ravina had certain merchandise in Chol Hamoed that was able to sell for 6,000 zuz, yet he waited to sell it until after Chol Hamoed, despite the potential for a great loss, which permits the sale. He ended up selling it after Chol Hamoed for 12,000 zuz. All right, so now we go to a Simon Daf Yud, and our standard Simon is a minion of Yidden. a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden wearing messed up hems that they sewed on Chol HaMoed had time to go out to the field to collect some large twigs for the shul's Chol HaMoed bonfire, because their shops were closed with the chag for merchandising. Once again, slow motion. The minion of Yidden, minion of Yidden, that must be more daf Yud. The minion of Yidden wearing messed up hems that they sewed on Chol HaMoed, which reminds us the Mishnah stayed ahead Yod Tov for Kedarcho. A layman may sew in his usual way during Chol HaMoed. The Gemara on Ardav has what's considered a layman, and the Yeshiva Rebbe Yana answered, whoever's unable to skillfully pull a needle of stitches through the fabric at the same time. But Yossi Bar Chanina said, whoever cannot form a straight hem on the bottom of his garment. So the minion of Yidden wearing messed up hems that they sewed on Chol HaMoed had time to go out to the field to collect some large twigs for the shul's Chol HaMoed bonfire. Which reminds us, if one only takes large twigs and leaves the small ones when clearing a field, then it appears his intentions for gathering wood to fuel a fire, which is permitted on Chol HaMoed. But if he takes both the large and small twigs, then it appears that his intention is to clear the field so that he can plant, which is forbidden. So the minion of Yidden wearing messed up hems that they sewed on Chol HaMoed had time to go out to the field to collect some large twigs for the shul's Chol HaMoed bonfire, because their shops were closed over the chag for merchandising. Which reminds us, Rav said in his 8th ruling, any amount of merchandising in Chol HaMoed is prohibited. Rav Yossi Bar Avin said, but in the case of a loss, it is permitted. Rashi explains that if the person will have a loss if he does not sell it on Chol HaMoed, but where a loss is not prevented by selling it specifically on Chol HaMoed, it is forbidden. So once again, the minion of Yidden wearing messed up hems that they sold on Chol HaMoed had time to go out to the field to collect some large twigs for the shul's Chol HaMoed bonfire, because their shops were closed over the chag for merchandising. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Dav Vav. So the simmer Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes. The Zal Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords, that must mean we're on Dav Vav. The zealous Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords to inspect the fields for Kalayim, which reminds us the Mishnah said that Shulchei Basin also go out to inspect the fields for Kalayim, referring to Pesach Chol HaMoed. The Gemara on Ardav has said this is a contradiction to a Mishnah in Shkalim that says the inspectors go out on the 15th of Adar. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanin each provide an answer. One said that the Mishnah in Shkalim is dealing with the early crop, whereas the Mishnah here is dealing with the later crop. The other one said, Kamba Zvarim, Kamba Yerakos. The Mishnah in Shkalim deals with grains, whereas here it deals with vegetables. So the Zelz Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords to inspect the fields for Kalayim, saw a man use his sword to make a channel to draw water from one tree to another, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Moshe Kenas Amai, Mi Ilan Ilan, we may draw the water from one tree to another tree on Chol HaMoed, provided that one does not water the entire field. Rashi explains that the trees need to be irrigated to prevent financial loss, but the whole field may not be watered because the grains, in this case, can survive on rainwater, and plants that were not watered before the Moed may not be watered in Chol HaMoed. Rashi explains that since they were not watered regularly before, they'll survive if one doesn't water them during Chol HaMoed. The Chamim Matirim Bezeh Bezeh, but the Chamim permit watering in both cases. Rashi explains that the Chamim here is Rabbi Meir, who permits watering a rainwater field in order to enhance its growth. So the zealous Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords to inspect the fields for Kalayim, saw a man use his sword to make a channel to draw water from one tree to another, next to an anthill where a battle to the deaths was going on. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings up Bryce that states, we may destroy anthills on Chol HaMoed, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel explains how. One brings dirt from this anthill and puts it in this anthill, and the ants choke each other to death. Rashi explains that when the ants smell the unfamiliar soil, they panic and kill each other. Dav Zayin. So the simmer Dav Zayin is clay Zayin, a weapon, a gun. So here goes. The heavily armed guards, gun, that must mean we're on Dav Zayin. The heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's Nagaim on Chol HaMoed, which reminds us that we have a Malchus Rav Meir on the Chachamim whether a Kohen can look at a Nega on Chol HaMoed. Rav Meir says, a Kohen may look and examine a Nega Tzras on Chol HaMoed to be Mekel, but not to be Machmir. Rashi explains, the Kohen sees that he's Tameh, shouldn't say anything, because if he declares him Tameh, he'll cause a person distress, and the Torah says, V'samach b'chagecha, and you should rejoice in your Chag. But the Chachamim say, a Kohen may not examine at all, neither to be Mekel nor Machmir. They hold the Kohen who examines a Nega must make a ruling, and if he were to examine it in order to be Mekel, he might end up having to be Machmir. So, the heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's Nagaim on Chol HaMoed weren't sure if they should let him go and look at the Metzorah at the end of his second confinement, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a similar Malchokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yossi, who holds like the Chachamim, and Rabbi qualifies the Malchokas that they only disagree in the case of someone at the end of his second confinement, where his situation will improve if he's Tahor and worsen if he's Tameh, as he'll be distressed on becoming a Metzorah Muchlat. So, The heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's Nagaim on Chol HaMoed weren't sure if they should let him go and look at the Metzorah at the end of his second confinement, and told a chazan to come back in a week after Sheva Brachas. Which reminds us, since becoming a Metzorah is dependent on the Kohen's declaration of the person being Tameh, we learn that a chazan who develops a nega, we give him 7 days of a Sheva Brachas before examining it, and we also give him an allowance for his house and clothing. Similarly, if someone develops a nega before a regal, we give him 7 days of the chag before examining it. Daf Ches, so the Simur Daf Ches is Chala. So here goes. The Chol HaMoed Chala delivery truck, Chala, that must be on Daf Ches. The Chol HaMoed Chala delivery truck stopped to drop off free Chala to the man rebearing his parents' bones, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states where Mer said that a person may gather the bones of his father and mother and bury them in an ancestral pond of Chol HaMoed because it's a simcha for him. Rashi explains that he's happy that they're buried next to their ancestors and it's not distressing for him. Rabbi Yossi said, Evel Hilo, it's a source of mourning for him and therefore it's prohibited. Even though a person should mourn the entire day when he reinterns the bones, Abai explains that Rabbi Meir means that the simcha of the regal is upon him. Since he's very involved in the simcha of the chag, the reinterment doesn't bother him. So the Chol HaMoed Challah delivery truck stopped to drop off free challah to the man rebearing his parents' bones, and to the team busy lengthening some kuchin. Which reminds us, the next mission states, Ein chofin kuchin ukvaros b'mod. We may not dig burial alcoves or graves during Chol HaMoed of machanchin as a kuchin b'mod, but we may adjust burial alcoves during Chol HaMoed, which means that we may shorten them. And a braisa teaches that we may also lengthen and widen them, even though it involves more tircha. So the Chol HaMoed delivery truck stopped to drop off free challah to the man rebearing his parents' bones, and to the team busy lengthening some kuchin. Since they had so much extra challah from the chassan's canceled order, who just found out he couldn't get married on Chol HaMoed. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ein nosin nashim b'moed, o besulos v'almanos o miyabin. We may not marry women on Chol HaMoed, neither virgins or widows, nor may we perform yibum b'fnei shesimchilo, because doing one of these things is a simcha form. And the Gemara brings 4 reasons why it's a problem to have this additional simcha on the chag. Daf Tes, so the Simur Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The ladies enjoying 2 separate 7-day tea parties. Tea? That must mean we're on Daf Tes, teapot. The ladies enjoying 2 separate 7-day tea parties, making sure not to mix simchas, which reminds us that the source for Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, we do not mix one simcha with another simcha, comes from a pasuk regarding Shlomo's celebration of the dedication of the base of Mikdash. Shivas Yamim v'Shivas Yamim Arvas Yom, for 7 days, and for 7 more days, 14 days. They celebrate for 7 days before Sukkot, and then celebrate for 7 days during Sukkot, for a total of 14 days. The proof is from the redundancy of saying that they celebrate for 14 days, when it had just stated that they had celebrated for 7 days and 7 more days. Shema Mina, Hani L'chud v'Hani L'chud. We can learn from this that the 7 days of celebrating the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash are on their own, and the 7 days of Sukkot are on their own, meaning that the simchas were not mixed. So the ladies enjoying 2 separate 7-day tea parties, making sure not to mix simchas, were aghast when one lady shared that the Jews ate on Yom Kippur when the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated, which reminds us that the year of the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael did not keep Yom Kippur. They made the following Kal Vachomer. If by the dedication of the Mishkan, whose Kedusha is not everlasting, and we're dealing with the individual Karbanis of the Nesim, yet it was Docha Shabbos, which is in Isser Skila, then all the more so by the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, whose Kedusha is everlasting, and the Karbanis are for the Tzibur, and in Yom Kippur, the onus is only Karis, that the celebration should override Yom Kippur. So the ladies enjoying 2 separate 7-day tea parties, making sure not to mix simchas, were aghast when one lady shared that the Jews ate on Yom Kippur when the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated. And another one was told her grandson shouldn't leave learning if someone else can pour the tea. Which reminds the Gemara resolves a seeming contradiction between 2 psukim regarding the issue of whether mitzvos are equal to Talmud Torah by explaining, Kan b'mitzvah she'efshel asos el yidei acherim, that here in the pasuk that mitzvahs do not compare to Talmud Torah, it refers to a mitzvah that can be performed by others. Therefore, one who's learning should let someone else do the mitzvah. Kan b'mitzvah she'efshel asos el yidei acherim, whereas here, in the pasuk that implies the mitzvahs are equal to Talmud Torah, it refers to a mitzvah which cannot be done by others. Therefore, a person learning should stop learning and perform the mitzvah. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.